Welcome to the Think Kingdom Church podcast. This is Marcus Looney, the Creative Arts Director over here at Think Kingdom Church. Thank you for joining us for week two of the series Mixtape. Let's jump in and see what God's Word has for us with Resident Pastor Ramon Belagamba.
Today we're going to be talking about family. So I want you to open up to your Bibles, go on your phones, open up to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 42 to 47. It's a very common passage for the church. Many of you will be familiar with it. And we're going to be preaching on the theme of family once again. So hear the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that this time that we have to gather together, even online, Father, is let it be a sweet time. A sweet time that we can savor that Jesus is Lord. And because Jesus is Lord, there is hope for today. There's hope for tomorrow. And we can look forward to that. And Father, we're going to dig in this text. We're going to see what a family after your heart should look like. We're going to pray that we can grow as a church, to grow as family, family on mission, family of servant missionaries around the city of Kannapolis, Charlotte, Concord. I just pray, Lord, that as I preach your holy word, Father, that you give me the unction to preach it rightly, to preach it with conviction, to preach it with clarity. I pray that the words that the hearers hear this day, I pray that impresses upon them how much more they need you, Jesus, and how much more reliant we must be on the Spirit. I pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, in his matchless name. Amen. Growing up, one of the things that I always genuinely loved to hear was music, right? And one of the things that brought me and all my friends into a frenzy, into a ruckus, was when the newest mixtape came out. And me being from Queens, we loved when that new DJ Clue came out. And we waited week after week to see if another Clue tape dropped. We couldn't wait till I get our hands on it. Mixtapes in nature are love of music. And it created community for us. Like, whether we knew you or not, if you was talking about that new Clue tape, you was talking about the songs that were on there, you was down to talk with us. We talk about it before school, after school, in the classroom, on the way home, it didn't matter. Whether we know it or not, we all have a desire for belonging. We all have a desire, an innate desire for community. And that's no accident, as we have a triune God, a God who is in community. And we gather around things that we share, whether it's a shared identity, whether it's a shared place, whether it is shared networks or whether it is shared experiences. These are communities. And mostly in our day, most of our communities are built around either identity or they're communities that are built around shared experiences. And because we live in a day where everybody wants to change their image, this is the age of branding. Basing your community on identity could be tricky, but then also basing your community on shared experiences is fleeting. So communities are easily built, but families are built to last. On this cut on our mixtape, we're going to learn about why we must be devoted to family. Like, why does the church need to live as a family? Why do we say the church is family? Because the church is family, we must be devoted to life together by the Spirit. The main idea of this message, I'm gonna say it again, because the church is family, we must be devoted to life together by the Spirit. And by the Spirit, we must be, point one, we must be devoted to worship. We see that in verses 42 and 43. First, before I really dig in, I gotta let you know that the key verb of this passage, as you're looking at it in Acts 2, 42 to 47, is the word devoted. But devoted means different things to different people. Devoted means a few things. Firstly, it means to hold fast to. Secondly, it means to continue in, to cling on. And lastly, it means to persevere into something. What we are most devoted to actually shapes us more than we ever know. It shapes us as people. It shapes our institutions. It shapes our societies. The basis of gospel community, the basis of the church is family. The basis of this must always be Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the formation of our family is Jesus. I can't say it enough times. We are different. If we make the basis of our family, then kingdom, anything else but Jesus, it's going to fail. All the time, nonstop, when we place our hope in anything else, right? We put what's in our community on anything else, it's going to take us farther and farther away from Jesus. It's going to take us farther and farther away from the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus has defeated sin, death, and evil through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. He's making all things new, even us. And this is the apostles' teaching. And the thing about it, you got so many things that go through your head when you think about the gospel. But usually in our American context, when we think about the gospel, we just think about us. We don't even think about that the gospel is cosmic, that is communal. We always think the gospel for the individual first. And that actually keeps the gospel from having its flavor in our culture. When we don't testify that Jesus is Lord, right? And the fact that God is reconciling all things unto himself, we forget how we are people of the story. We forget that in this age right now, the church is supposed to be the witness to the kingdom of God. We always forget this when we break it down to just the gospel is just for us and just for us to get into heaven. We don't even talk about the reality that Christ is reconciling all things unto himself and that there's going to be one day a new heaven and a new earth. We lose sight of the kingdom. We lose sight of the king. We lose sight of the fact that God is on mission and we're participating in God's mission in the earth. We also have to remember as family that our fellowship is spirit formed. This is not happenstance that these verses are written by Luke right after Pentecost. And what happened at Pentecost? The Spirit came to God's people. So for us, our community must be dependent upon the Spirit. And that tells us that we gotta go deep, right? Like we see in these verses 42 and 43, we see there are four things that the people of God are devoted to, right? The means of grace, right? So we see fellowship, we see word, we see ordinances, the Lord's Supper is talked about in this verse, and we see prayer. The means of grace is what the Spirit uses to shape us. It's ordinary things. We have to be a community that is built on the word. Communities, families of Jesus are built on the word. They're built on prayer. They're built on God's people coming together. They are built on us partaking in the Lord's Supper and seeing baptism. It gives us, it reminds us of the newness of our covenant. It reminds us that we are a new creation in Jesus. And this guides us to Spirit-led worship. And it's when we have Spirit-led worship, right? Worship and mission go together. They're like two wings on the same plane. We are needed, our family needs to have both to have balance, right? So Spirit-led worship leads to Spirit-led mission, and Spirit-led mission leads to gospel movement. It calls us to something greater. And think about it. Think about how much we love our favorite sports teams. Especially down here in this area. When it's the fall, it's war. We got Panther fans. We got Clemson fans. We got North Carolina fans. We got South Carolina fans. We got it all. And during the fall, you never have to tell someone to talk about their favorite team. Or you always know on a Saturday or Sunday what they're doing for about 3 to 4 hours. You know that they are participating in a form of worship, right? And we see in this text, we see the early church is showing us what true worship looks like. And if we are spending time in these ordinary means of grace, right, and that we are being shaped by this, we should be talking more about Jesus. We should be witnesses to the glory of the kingdom of God. We should be witnesses to our new reality, the eternal reality, that we the family. We're the family of God. This ain't changing. We family now, and we'll be family forevermore. At the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what is keeping us from growing in the gospel? We're family, think kingdom. Is it Jesus? I could only be devoted part-time right now because I'm overcommitted. Am I too focused on securing the bag, working, that Jesus is getting that part-time love? Come on. But not even that. By the Spirit, we also must be devoted to generosity. We see this in verses 44 and 45. I'm going to read this. Verse 44. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. So last week, Pastor Antoine let us know that when it comes to our relationship with money, that the ultimate goal for believers is generosity. It's really not about money, but it's about the heart that God wants us to have. In this picture, in verses 44 and 45, it shows us the natural outworking of the Spirit in the context of family. When we care for one another, right, we see the church as family. When we're being led by the Spirit, it's working in us to create this love and just concern for our brothers and sisters. Generosity led by the Spirit runs counter to personal happiness. Now the world will tell you, yo, go live for yourself. It's all about your happiness. It's not about sacrificing for another. That's anti-gospel. When we see our family in need, right? We ain't gonna run out and cop that new outfit. We ain't gonna run out and cop that new PlayStation game. Like, we actually are going to care for the needs of others, right? The gospel changes everything. As we keep our eyes on Jesus, right, we change into his image and likeness. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, this changes our affections, this changes our habits, this changes our motivations. Now, the first church after Pentecost, right, they were selling their property and possessions. No, that ain't socialism. They ain't practicing that. But what you see the early church doing, they are practicing radical generosity. What we see in these verses is a tangible expression of fellowship motivated by love and concern for one another. When our hearts aren't captive to the idol of money, we aren't worried about our security or comfort. Our concern is focused on the well-being of our family. When we are obedient to the Spirit, following Christ and his renewal of all things, we see kingdom generosity. Generosity is not always based upon our financial resources. It ain't all about the money. We all got time, we got talent, we got treasure, right? But how we use our time and talent also shows our generosity. I was thinking about this week. This week has been, it's been pretty cool for the most part. It's been for me personally. But something that warmed my heart this week was on Wednesday. I saw the release of Jonathan Irons. And if you don't know the name Jonathan Irons, it's probably because either you haven't saw the news this week or you didn't know that this was the man that the WNBA superstar Maya Moore has worked tirelessly the last year and change to get released from a false conviction, who was serving a 50-year term. Maya Moore did an ultimate sacrifice, right? What for most people was their concern. In the prime of her career, she decided, I ain't gonna play basketball. There's a man who is unjustly in prison, and his freedom is what I wanna do with my life right now. And she did, and she said it to the point where, if it doesn't happen this year, I'll sit out another year. And actually, he has now been released as of Wednesday, and she actually said, I'm not coming back this year. I'm just gonna take some time for myself. She shows us a great picture, right, of how she used her platform for a greater good because she knew that her life is not her own, right? She used her treasure. She sacrificed her time and her talent to see that somebody else was brought liberty. The captive was set free. She sacrificed for another believer on top of that. And sacrifice is at the heart of generosity. This is what we see in today's text. Our call by the Spirit is to devotion to generosity. We are called into the context of family. We are united in Christ by the Holy Spirit. We are a family, y'all. What if we were devoted to generosity for our family, think kingdom? How would our communities look different? How would our natural family look different? But not only by the Spirit, we must be devoted, right, to generosity. We also must be devoted to intimacy. Every day, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Luke right here is sharing with us the depth of Spirit-filled intimacy of the early church. What should really strike us is that intimacy shared in worship of God together, we always see in Scripture. But what really strikes out in this picture is the intimacy shared with each other. One of the sure signs of a friendship in the ancient world and ours even today is sharing a meal with folks. This open table approach characterized the ministry of Jesus. And this also, as we see here, characterized the ministry of his disciples. And it should characterize our ministry now. A reminder that a church that truly sees itself as family shares an open table. A hospitality to one another really shows if we are devoted to intimacy. Multi-ethnic churches show the reality of the kingdom of God here and now when we gather on Sundays. But the real question of the reality of family is not that we have diverse community on Sunday, but what do our dinner tables look like Monday through Saturday? Do they testify to the same reality of diversity? I know it's difficult in these COVID days, but we are pressing on in together into intimacy, breaking bread with one another and gathering and having joined the Lord with one another. By the Spirit, God formed an early church of different cultural, ethnic, social, and linguistic characteristics. But by the Spirit, they were able to overcome their differences and be devoted to intimacy with one another. Prayer is a great builder of intimacy with one another. So in addition to us gathering together over an open table, as we pray together, we get closer together. There's a lot of truth in the old saying, a family that prays together stays together. Prayer and praise is a sign of life in a church, a healthy church. As we seek to grow as a family, we seek to grow in hospitality, we seek to grow in prayer and praise. All of these rhythms show you people that are building their lives together. We have to build intimacy with one another. I'm not sure if you've heard the name Rosaria Butterfield or you know of her story, but Sister Butterfield was once a tenured English and women's studies professor at Syracuse University. And she actually, when she, actually with her, Thomas professor, she actually taught critical theory and queer theory, and she became an ardent LGBT activist prior to her coming to Christ. I bring this up to speak on hospitality. She wrote a book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. She spoke on how the early days of the LGBT movement really gained traction around open tables. How her home and others had an open door policy to do life with others in the community. Many dinners, game nights, and just plain hanging out. Her experience wasn't unique, as she said. This was the norm in many urban centers. The sense of community is what drew many to the LGBT cause. It was deemed radical and inclusive. What I heard from her that day is that she loved intimacy and community. She eventually found greater intimacy with God than her sin because of her neighbors who loved Jesus and who loved on her. In a greater way, the early church was devoted to intimacy with God and one another. They showed us first that intimacy builds movement. That's why it's so important for the church to grow, to live as family. We gotta live as family. Devotion to intimacy and life together builds gospel movement. This is what we wanted to build in Kannapolis, in Charlotte, in Concord, to the ends of the earth. Central to us living as family is the call to us to live in dependent prayer. We need the help of the Spirit. We can't do this on our own. For us to live in love and unity as such a diverse body. It also calls us to realize that biblical community this side of heaven is imperfect. It's full of people. People who sin. Sometimes it's going to be conflict and tension, but it gives us the opportunity to grow in Christ-likeness, where we get to extend forgiveness, where we get to extend grace, where we learn to speak the truth in love. Only friction produces diamonds, just as only a messy community, a messy family, will build a mature and beautiful community. Thirdly, live with gospel intentionality. Don't look as growing with the family as something you got to add onto your schedule. We're not compartmentalizing how we embody the gospel. Look at the rhythms of your life and see how you can do it with our family. Think about recreation. Who can you go play basketball with? Who can you go shoot pool with? Think about meals. We got 21 meals in a week if we're eating three a day. Like, how many of them could you spend with somebody else in our family? Think about errands. Like, who likes going grocery shopping alone? Maybe you could call somebody else and see if they're free. What about service? We're about to feed Kannapolis, right? Like, encourage our brothers and sisters in the family, let's volunteer. And even on top of that, somebody who's not a part of the family can say, hey, we're serving the community. You wanna join us? You wanna volunteer? What about chores? Y'all work ain't easy. If two hands make that labor quick. I want you to reach out to your family. Do it with gospel intentionality. Gospel intentionality breeds gospel mission. Also, in your workplace, family, we should be people who are known for joy and sincerity in the workplace. We should be known and marked as, there's something different about him. I don't know. I love it. It's smooth. Like, he's always so joyful. Also, we should be people in the workplace who should be known for praising God. Like, don't be scared. God doing something. God at work. Let him know. Praise God. Let him know. Let him know that you follow Jesus. Don't be scared. You should be doing that on the normal. We got to learn how to do things with gospel fluency. Also, our families, our natural families, should be growing in the gospel. We should also be growing in service to one another in our households. Our families should be devoted to prayer and praise and reaching others with the gospel. As we shape our lives, right? We shape our lives being devoted together, right? It's just a natural extension of this, that we should be doing this in every place of life, where we live, where we work, and where we play. And because the church is family, we must be devoted to life together by the Spirit. The church is not like a family. The church is a family. We are a testimony to the eternal reality in the here and now, as well as the life to come. The church is called to be a sign, a foretaste, and an instrument of the kingdom of God. Because of our shared experience of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have a taste of the eternal life now while we're waiting for the fulfillment of the kingdom. We're waiting for Jesus to come. Ride on, King Jesus. Then, kingdom, I want y'all to look to Christ as we seek to grow as a family, to break the bonds of brokenness, because we praise the one who has broken it for us, to break the bonds of greed, because we praise the one who has became poor for us, to break the bonds of divisiveness, because we praise the one who shared our human life together with us, for us to fulfill the vision of the kingdom, of being a multiplying church, is a call for us to grow as family as we grow in the gospel. As we grow in the gospel as family, living on mission with God will seem natural to us. And only as we are devoted to worship, generosity, and intimacy can we grow as a family and fulfill the vision that God has given us as a church. I pray that we continue to grow in devotion and life together until the Lord comes back or we go to Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you give us clear instruction. Like, we should be devoted to you and only to you. And that whatever is taking our time, talent, and treasure away from you, whatever idols that may be, I pray that we repent. I pray that after this sermon that we cry out to you and that we have that time of confession and that we could be thankful for the promise that those who confess to you, you're faithful to forgive. And that's because of the work of your Son. Your Son who's praying for us, who's praying for us to have unity, who's praying for us to love one another, is praying for us to continue fighting the good fight. I pray that we are people who are shaped in the image of Jesus, who are shaped by the mission of Jesus, and we continue to rely on the Spirit to do the work of Jesus in the world. I pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, in his holy name. Amen.
An excellent word from Resident Pastor Ramon Bellagamba talking about family and the importance of community. If you're blessed by anything you hear on this podcast and you feel led to give, feel free to text the word GIVE to 704-741-3705. Thank you for tuning in to this week's series entitled Mixtape, right here on the Think Kingdom Church podcast.